You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, the Reading fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 463. Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going great.
All right. We don't have a ton to discuss about, but we've got we do have some items I think are going to be fun for listeners to chime in on. And if you ever have a thought that you want to share, definitely reach out on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk or join the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. Today is May 14th, Monday, late afternoon as we're recording this. A little bit of an update on Dexter Williams. Not much of an update, but just a little bit what he's been doing at least. And we're going to talk about Bill Connolly's preview of Notre Dame over on SB Nation, give our thoughts on that. Is he too optimistic? Is he not optimistic? And he does have a 10-2 record for the Irish. A little bit of recruiting, and then a little bit of transfer news. So let's start with Dexter Williams. And Ral, you posted over on the forums that Dexter was working out last week in Ohio.
Yeah, it's just, it's odd to me. He wasn't at Notre Dame last week when he was doing, or when everybody else is having finals. I don't know all the details. Maybe he got done early, but he was out in Ohio working out, and he had he had his schedule on social media and where he's going to be the next couple of weeks. But it's just kind of odd seeing where he's been at the last while. So I don't know if it...
We don't really know anything, but it's interesting.
Yeah, just some interesting things. Maybe if he was... The one thought I had, maybe if he was suspended for a semester, it was this last one, and that he'll be good to go this fall. I mean, there's so many different things, and we have no update on what's going on. But I'm guessing that semester wouldn't work, though, because he was at spring. So, Anyways, it's just kind of odd. And following his social media, I mean, all the other players are going home now, and, you know, we'll get a break for a couple weeks. But who knows? There's a lot of questions out there about Dexter Williams.
So... Let's jump over then and talk about Bill Connolly's preview of Notre Dame this upcoming season. And it's an optimistic outlook, even with Notre Dame losing two big playmakers at wide receiver with Stefferson and with EQ. And obviously you lose two top 10 offensive linemen. You lose your number one stud running back, who was a Heisman contender. But why is there reason to be optimistic? Well, Notre Dame is favored, according to, if you go by the S&P's numbers, Notre Dame is favored in every game this upcoming season.
Which, weren't they last year as well?
They probably are every year. But, well, they probably were last year because, and they ended up, I mean, they were, had a pretty phenomenal season.
I don't think they were against Georgia. Well, no, man, I'd have to go back and check, but it was odd. They were favored in most of the games, if not all of them.
But some of the key points are you do have solid running backs. And now that looks less solid today than it even did 2 weeks ago with a little bit of uncertainty around Dexter Williams. And even with Dexter Williams and Tony Jones Jr., there was always a question about health. How healthy can they remain? And then the other one is he's really optimistic about Miles Boykin being a playmaker. And I have not bought into it, and I won't buy into it. Miles Boykin has a body of a tight end, and you can't be a dynamic wide receiver if you're playing wide receiver and have the body of a tight end. And I'm optimistic about this team, but for me, it comes down to improved passing game, and he points this out too. And I mean, the passing game, by all accounts, should improve even without EQ and Stefferson, because you have Wimbush. I mean, he's 1 year older. The passing game is going to be better.
Yeah.
The rushing game is not going to be better. I mean, that's not going to be better. But then the defense as well. I mean, they shouldn't they shouldn't take a step back. Obviously, they lost their coordinator, but they have a lot of cornerstones returning.
Yeah. I mean, another thing, one of his main points was that three or four of the hardest games are at Notre Dame. Like, the teams have to come to Notre Dame to play. So the schedule is in Notre Dame's favor. So that's good. I remember talking about this before other years, saying the same thing, and about how they're having first-year quarterbacks, well, a lot changes.
Did we talk about Miami yet, or was that just before?
Well, just before we recorded.
We're going to talk about Miami. And if that game would have been at Notre Dame, I do think Notre Dame would have won. They did win the year before, but and I know it's a different team.
Yeah.
But then Michigan, too. If we'd be playing at Michigan, I don't think Notre Dame would win that game.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I think Notre Dame can beat them here or
I think it'll be tough at home, let alone if Notre Dame would have to go on the road.
Well, luckily it's the first game of the year, so. But he had the win probability percentages. The lowest is actually against USC. It's at USC. See, that's one of the tougher games that's not at Notre Dame. So that goes against his point there. But they're at 61% win probability for Notre Dame. That's the lowest. Michigan is 62%. And Virginia Tech, 66%. But all the others are 70s. Ball State, 98%. I think I might bump that up to 100%. But Navy is 94%. Syracuse, 90%. Florida State, 75%.
And again, Virginia Tech is
at Stanford, 75%. That's kind of surprising to me. But Stanford is coming to Notre Dame. And the home team usually wins that one. So, anyways, it's a good read. Maybe we'll have to have him back on the podcast. We did a couple years ago. Maybe we'll have to invite him back and talk about this.
All right, and then let's move on then. Talk about, there's some recruiting news, but let's touch on Miami. We were touching on that a little bit. And Randall, you had either watched or read an interview with Jerm Smyth where he talked about last season's game when Notre Dame went to Miami. And we're riding high, and then we're crushed pretty emphatically.
Well, we keep hearing more and more about how loud and crazy the fans were. ISD had a good podcast with Hunter Bivin where he talked about that. But then this week, Jerm Smyth was in the... The media had access to Jerm Smyth this week, or last week. And, of course, being a Miami Dolphin, he was asked about the Miami game. And he basically said they weren't ready for it. The windshield broke on their bus from people throwing stuff at them. You know, the buses were shaking. And they just weren't ready for the noise.
And you could see it from the get-go. You could see it.
So they were completely shocked. From ISD's interview with Bivin, he mentioned how they just thought that Miami fans just weren't lackluster. And when they're watching films, the stands aren't filled. And so they were in for a surprise when they got there. The buses being rocked, windows breaking. I mean, it was, he even mentioned little kids flipping them off and yelling at them. I mean, it was, they weren't ready for it. So it is interesting to see that. But the good thing is everybody showed up when Notre Dame was coming to town.
Yeah.
So
too bad Notre Dame didn't show up.
Exactly. Well, yeah, everybody except Notre Dame showed up. But then there are some, as far as the other NFL guys, Niles Morgan was released by the Bears today, or waived by the Bears. And I'm kind of shocked it's this early. That does not bode well for him, that he's already being waived by the Bears. I mean, if you're being waived just, you know, days into rookie minicamp, it's not a good sign.
Do you know how long the rookie minicamp goes?
No, I don't.
Was anyone else waived?
I'm not sure. You know? I hadn't seen anything. I didn't really look at some of the guys. I mean, some of the guys, you know, Malik Zaire, Anderson Betty's with the Bears. Greer Martini is with the Packers, I believe. I didn't see anything on those guys. But, yeah, they got to tough road though. But the good news is Quentin Nelson, the Colts sent out a video today. Everybody, practice was done, things were put away, and Quentin Nelson was still out in the practice field. So they made a good pick.
I know
Quentin Nelson's going to be in the NFL for a while.
Some people were critical. I listened to a podcast, and I forget the name of it now, but it was a national podcast, sports national podcast.
Okay.
And it was a little critical, saying, you know, the Colts should have probably have traded that pick for two late first round picks or late first and an early second round pick, and they probably could have got almost as good of a offensive guard, but. And maybe that's true, and in hindsight, you know, maybe in a few years, that will be the case. But you know what you're getting with Quentin Nelson, and you're right. I think you're getting a guy that's going to be there for 10 plus years, going to be solid, and I'm happy with the pick, even if he wouldn't be a Notre Dame player.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he is. All right, let's talk about recruiting. What are the updates with that?
The big news is that Friday, the 19th, Nana Usafa-Mensah will be announcing his commitment to either Notre Dame or Texas. And we talked about last week, everybody thinks he's going to sign with Texas. I mean, with Notre Dame. There's not much question there. All he has to do is basically announce it to the public. But that is a huge pickup for Notre Dame. Getting that weak side defensive end, 6'4", 231, and, Notre Dame keeps adding guys on the defensive side of the ball. So far, most of the commitments are defensive players except for offensive linemen. Just kind of a note on that, if you do like following announcements, if you go to 24/7, the recruiting page for Nana, you can actually see up top they have the time until his commitment watch. Like right now it's 5 days, 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 27 seconds.
Oh,
and you can actually look at all the players that are announcing to all the different schools. But he will be announcing at 6 p.m., and I believe that's Central Time. Since he is from Texas, there'll be Central Time. And that is on Friday. So
is your gut feeling also he's going to pick the Irish?
Yeah, he's going to pick Notre Dame.
Okay.
And then... yeah, Notre Dame continues to give out more offers to 2020 kids. It still seems, whenever I see, oh, another 2020 kid got an offer, that still seems like they're offering a couple years ahead of what they need to. Like, man, Notre Dame's getting into the game early. They're like, oh, wait, that's not that far away. So,
and then soon after that, it's Notre Dame and Ohio State.
That's coming up too, so. So, yeah, but a lot of the players, or as far as the Notre Dame player, things are kind of slowing down the next couple of weeks. The Notre Dame commitments from this last year, the freshmen will be showing up here in June and get started with that. So.
And then there is an update around Ashton White. He wasn't with the football team last season, but he was at Notre Dame. And go ahead.
He announced that he will be transferring to the Buffalo Bulls. It's a MAC team. And he will have 2 years of eligibility left. So he is graduating from Notre Dame. He was still taking classes this last year. He was just not part of the football program. But he has 2 years of eligibility remaining, and we'll get to play right away next year.
All right, good for him. And then, Randall, you mentioned there's some political news that we should announce as well that you were telling me about before the podcast.
Not
really political, but legal.
Yeah. The Supreme Court passed a law that they're allowing sports gambling. Let me find the post here. So it passed 7-2.
I didn't even know it was in the Supreme Court.
I didn't either. I was not following it, but I guess. Does that interest you at all? I mean, are you into like...
I love looking at the lines.
What are the FanDuel and...
I don't like that. But I enjoy looking at the lines for games just to see, you know, what Vegas and what people that are spending money are expecting to happen.
Well, they said it was unconstitutional, so there you go.
You mean it was unconstitutional that it was not allowed?
They ruled 7-2 that the federal ban on sports gambling is unconstitutional. It rules in favor of New Jersey. So,
okay, so there might be more to this. And maybe, is it just New Jersey, or is it?
No, there were states that allowed it already, and I don't know. I never really got into the gambling part of it, so I don't know a lot of details about it. But I do like FanDuel, and can I think of the other one? DraftKings.
DraftKings, yeah.
All right. I usually make quite a bit of money at the beginning. About the only time I do is NFL. I usually win big the first week, and then by the end of the season, I have spent it all. So probably rigged. It's much easier at the beginning because nobody knows.
I mean, who's good or who's not?
It's more of a guess. Later in the season, I think the guys that do a lot of studying are the ones that do better at the end of the year because you can kind of, you know, figure out patterns and whatever.
All right. Do you have anything more you want to discuss on today's episode?
Troy Pride was running track this weekend, the ACC championships. He tried to qualify for the 200-meter, and his time was 21.16, and he placed ninth, but he was 0.2 seconds out of the qualifying for the finals, so he did not run the finals in the 200-meter. But then in the 100-meter, he qualified for the finals with a 10.5, and then in the finals, he placed seventh with a 10.56. And he also ran in the relay and did really good in his leg of the race, and people were talking about how fast he looked, but we've seen that, especially when we ran down Dexter Williams in the spring game.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame's got some serious speed, and you got another track guy coming in. Braden Lindsay will be enrolling here before too long and running track as well, and so we're getting that speed. We're getting closer to the speed of the supposed speed of the SEC teams. So, one other thing, ESPN had an article that listed Aloe Gilman as one of college football's highest impact transfers. So, basically, they expect him to start.
I love how there's the qualifiers. It's not just a new impact player, but a transfer as well. I mean, they're breaking it down more and more. Which is fine.
I think they do that quite a bit, but the thing is, a lot of transfer, usually when you're transferring, it's hard to make an impact. Because if you're that good, you're staying at the school where you're at, most likely, unless you get into the situation like Shea Patterson at Michigan, the starting quarterback. I mean, there the school had issues and drama, and that's why he transferred, and so it wasn't because he wasn't getting playing time. A lot of times transfers are going somewhere because they're not the starters and barely the backups, and they want more playing time. That's the likeliest. So everyone knows he's projected to be the starter, and so of course he made the list as one of them. Otherwise, the other guys are like Freddie Canteen.
Well, that was definitely no impact player.
Cam Smith.
Yeah.
And we've seen what's happened before with Notre Dame with the transfers that they've gotten. Who's the
other defensive back from Florida?
I don't know. He actually played for the Titans then.
From Florida? But that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Got hurt and didn't play that much.
Yeah. I know what you mean. There's a small pool to choose from as far as guys who are probably going to end up starting, so it's fine. All right. I don't have anything more. You got anything else?
Yes. One last thing. I was going to mention at the beginning. Mother's Day was obviously yesterday, but I think Brian Polian had the best tweet. Well, everybody is thankful for their moms and all that, and pictures with their mom. Well, Brian Polian had a picture of a McDonald's breakfast and said that he made or furnished the breakfast for Mother's Day, and he said he should be ashamed of himself, but he's not. So
he should just have left it. I should be ashamed of myself, because yes, he should be.
But he had McDonald's breakfast there, the pancakes and some sausage and egg biscuits, and yeah, hey, at least he's getting breakfast for his kid's mom. So, it was just funny. I think Brian Polian is, you can see why he's such a good recruiter, is because he's just, he's doing stuff like that. He's not the guy, I mean,
he's pretty personable.
From what we've seen, he's easier to relate to than a lot of guys, and he's not scared to show it and put himself out there. So, anyways, that's all I've got. All
right, thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.